I wrote down an opening statement, Gideon might be a surprise candidate for Hebrews chapter 11. Several times he says or does something that made me question as I was reading the chapters about Gideon, question his faith. Is this a man of faith? Go back, if you will, to Judges chapter number 6, and we'll look at chapter 6 and chapter 7 and kind of work our way through them, and we'll introduce you to a man by the name of Gideon. When you say the word Gideon, most people think about Gideon's 300, and we will get to that. But there's a lot that the Bible says before we get there that I think will be a help to us. First of all, let me remind you the state of the nation of Israel at this time. We'll do that by beginning in verse 1, Hebrews 6, verse 1. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You could remove children of Israel and put the word America right there. Did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them, now think about how bad it got. Think about this. Okay, made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. That's how bad it got. That's how bad it got. You couldn't live in a house. Okay, you couldn't. You couldn't keep your children in the house. Couldn't, scared to death to have your wife in the house. So, I mean, you've gone back into the mountains. You've gone back into the canyons. You've found caves, made caves, taken over dens. That means the places animals used to live, and that's where you're trying to survive. This is the state of Israel. Verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, the children of the east, even they came up against them. Now, when they mean sown, that means they have put out their crops now, okay? And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So it's one thing to be driven out of your house. They're up there, they're trying to plant some food, and they're trying to take care of some livestock. And they said, well, we'll just show up about the time that you plant everything and destroy it all. And then we're going to steal all of your livestock. Verse 5, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came, this is how many? Midianites. Remember this. And they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, folks, it took, notice when they cried unto the Lord. Remember verse number 1? What had to happen? What did they have to go through? What did they have to get down to? That's what I keep looking around my country and thinking to myself. What are we going to have to go down to before we realize what this whole thing is really about? Folks, let me tell you something. Let's let God hear our voices now. Are you listening to me? If there's evil, if there's sin in your life, it's time to get it out. It's time to turn back to the Lord. You know what? It's got to start with the church of Jesus Christ. You're playing around, messing around, hiding some little habitual sin somewhere. You're killing your country. You're killing your nation. Okay, time to clean up. Time to wake up, clean up. Okay, it's time for revival. Well, they finally got around to calling on the name of the Lord. This is the state of Israel. Now, God's going to send them a deliverer. Isn't God merciful? And he hears them. Matter of fact, he sends a prophet. Verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now here comes a preacher. God sends preachers to a nation that needs to hear, this is what you're doing. This is what God's done in the past. He's done all this for you, and look at the way you're behaving. Look at the way you're living. And so that's what preachers need to be preaching today, folks. We need to get in our pulpits and call America back to God. We need to lift up our voice like it's not time to get quiet about sin. It's time to lift up your voice like a trumpet and declare the sins of a nation to, because that's our only hope. That's our only hope. And I go back and look at Nineveh and I think, you know what? You talk about a reluctant preacher. Jonah didn't even want to go there. But he went there, preached, and they turned and they were, read about the Ninevites. There's a reason Jonah didn't want them to be spared. I mean, you talk about a wicked, wicked people. But you know what? When they put on sackcloth and ash and repented and turned to God, God spared them. Oh, I hope America's listening. So God's promised he's going to step in. So we're introduced then to Gideon. Now I want to talk, before I talk about the faith of Gideon, I want to point out what I'm going to call the faithlessness of Gideon. And by the way, this is several points, all right? So we won't spend a lot of time on all of them. But Gideon, first of all, number one, questioned the very presence of the Lord in verse number 11. And when there came an angel of the Lord and sat upon an oak, which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash, the Zebrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now here's the great faith. This is the guy that ends up in the faith chapter, okay? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, first of all, we see that he questions the presence of the Lord. He calls him Lord, but we see, and we're going to see, that he really does not believe in his heart 100% that this is even a messenger from God. A lot of times when angels came in the Old Testament, sometimes they came in bright Shekinah glory, and it was very evident of who they are. But most of the time in the Old Testament, when angels first appeared, they just walked in, and you looked up, and there was a man. And you didn't realize until later that it was an angel. And that's the way this story unfolds. And so Gideon begins to even question whether or not the Lord is communicating, whether the Lord's interested, whether the Lord cares. Does God even care? So already he's come in and he said, the Lord is with thee. Well, I don't think so. Look around. The Lord is going to use you. I'm a nobody. I think you got the wrong person. By the way, if you're really from God, prove it. And that doesn't sound like faith. Prove it. He said, I'm going to go get you something to eat, and you prove it. Okay, I'm going to go get you something to eat, and then when I get back, you figure out a way to prove it. He said, okay, go get it. So you know what? He proved it. And then you look at this great man of faith's reaction to that. Verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Oh, so there he got it. Now, why did he believe it? Because he told him? Well, wait a minute. Where's the faith? Did he walk in and say, hey, you know what? He just called me. He just called me to deliver Israel. And if God called, I can do it. Nope. Then he says to him, I don't think you are who you say you are. Why don't you prove it? He said, all right, I'll prove it. Then watch this. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. So his reaction, what he was saying was, oh my goodness sakes, that was an angel of the Lord. Now I've seen it with my face. Now I'm going to die. Now, folks, I'm sorry, but so far, if you're filling out a resume or an application for Hebrews chapter number 11, it's not looking good for you so far, all right? I hope this encourages some of you. It's encouraged me today in my office as I was going over this, So then he demands a sign from the Lord. Then he's convinced he's going to die. So now he's overcome with fear. Now, watch this. The Lord's going to tell him to do something, all right? Verse 25. It came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Okay, so now he's going to assign him something to do. Okay, now this is what I want you to do. Okay, there's a bullock that your father has, and he's going to sacrifice that to Baal. And I'm going to have you take that and sacrifice it to me. And by the way, while you're doing that grove, and by the way, that people grow these groves, and that's where they went to worship their false gods. He said, I want you to cut them down. I want you to clear cut it. So I want you to steal his sacrifice for Baal, sacrifice unto me, and then cut down the groves. Now watch this, folks. Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. All right, Gideon, come on. This is your chance to get in Hebrews chapter 11. All right, so here we go. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. All right. I mean, he did something, but it's still, all right. I'm convinced you're God. You're really serious about this and you want me to do this. But if I go walk over there in broad daylight and try to obey you, I'm gonna get sacrificed on that high mountain. So I'll tell you what, I'll obey, Lord, but I'm waiting until everybody's asleep. So he took 10 servants. You see him sneaking in the middle of the night. Mr., you know, courageous. All right. How did he end up here in the same chapter with David that killed Goliath? All right. This guy's a mess. He's come sneaking in. Now I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what grove, I don't know size of trees, but I don't know how in the world, you know, I could see him almost saying, guys, you're chopping too loud. If you wake them up, they're going to kill us. Somebody shut that bullock up, okay? I don't know. But he ends up in Hebrews 11. I read it to you, okay? So now he obeys the law, but he does it under the cover of darkness. All right? Now, because of that, you know, the next day when they find this, they go to his father's house. He's hiding in his father's house. And they all come to the gate, and they basically said, send your boy out. We know he's the one that done it. Send it out. Word got out. We asked. Somebody saw him. He did it. Send him out here. We're going to kill him. And his dad, who was a Baal worshiper, at least wanted to protect his son. So he basically says, if you guys need to stand up for Baal, did you all come here because you need to defend Baal? If Baal doesn't need defended, okay, so let Baal defend Baal and don't kill my son. Baal will take care of it. And that's how he got his son out of that pickle. All right, now God is going to want him now to lead an army against the Midianites. And so he tells him, listen, I'm going to want you to blow a trumpet. I'm going to want you to start gathering people. And we're going to put an army together and we're going to take care of business. And then, verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, if as thou hast said. Okay, if he said, why is there an if? And where's the faith? Where's the faith? He said, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. It was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece a bowlful. Folks, it didn't get a little damp on the fleece and dry around it. God said, okay, if that's what you need. He soaks it, and it's dry all around it, and he picks it up, and he wrings it out and fills an entire bowl. Now, surely, that should be good. No, he's not done yet. So, verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it be now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. Now, when I got done with chapter 6, you got to understand, I had to go back. I know I've read the story dozens of times. But you go back, and now you're going to teach on it on Wednesday night, and you can't wait because Gideon's the 300 guy. You know, I mean, this will be a good one. Well, let me read the background. By the time I got on with chapter 6, I'm kind of sitting there going, Lord, was there like a back door into Hebrews chapter 11, and this guy snuck in? Because so far, this isn't looking good. I mean, come on. If I literally wrote that out on an application, if I wrote that out, so that's my resume of faith, I don't think anybody would say, well, march that guy over there. Think about it, okay? We're not done, by the way, all right? So there, he tested him before he put the fleece out, and there it was, and okay. Now, we talked about the faithlessness. Say, preacher, please, show us the faith of Gideon. Folks, listen to what I'm going to say, because this is the main truth tonight. Faith, I've said it before, is obedience. Faith is obedience. Faith is obedience. Faith is obedience when you're doubting. Faith is obedience when you're scared. Faith is obedience when you're second guessing. Faith is obedience when what God has asked you to do doesn't make any sense at all to you. I love this story. As soon as I got to that chapter and I began to turn the page and I began to say, God, where is the faith? And God said, in the obedience. The faith is in the obedience. All right? So, preacher, where's the obedience? Number one, he obeyed the Lord and destroyed his father's grove and cast down his idols. His idol. Did he obey him? You say, well, preacher, he did it at night. He may have done it at night, but did he do it? Gideon had faith because he obeyed the Lord when he was scared. He could have not done it. Just said, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm just not going to do it. Now, maybe he didn't do it as valiantly as all of us would have hoped, but did he do it? Faith is obedience. Then I seen this. He obeyed the Lord and whittled down his army to 300 men. And you know, that couldn't have made any sense to him. We see in Judges 7, verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vault themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. By the way, I didn't read these verses, but over in chapter 6, if you look down in verse number 31, 32, 33, he blows the trumpet. He begins to ask people to come. They begin to respond to Gideon's leadership. Gideon, 32,000 men show up. And I think Gideon, for the first time, kind of said, you know what? Maybe this could work. Hey, I'm not much, but they came. And maybe they heard that I defied Baal and there's still some believers and people are desperate. And hey, here's... And then God looks at the situation and goes, okay, come here. Yes, Lord. Pretty good, huh? He said, yeah, too good. Too good? Too good. Yeah, but they are as the sands of the sea. Okay, I mean, they're like a swarm of locusts, Lord. I mean, this could be, folks. I read the background. This could be in the top two or three or four largest armies, masses of soldiers that were ever brought into one spot at one time in the history of the world. And he's got 32,000 and he's thinking, well, it's not much, but God says, no, it's too much. Think about that. He said, it's too much. So when God began to tell him what to do, did he obey it? What did he tell him? Now, therefore, go to proclaim the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And so the first thing was he just brought all the 32,000, got up on a rock and said, if you are afraid or you're fearful and you don't think we should do this, go home. And I think Gideon wanted to jump off the rock and just follow him out the door. But, you know, it's kind of hard when you're the leader, you know, so... Folks, of the 32,000, 22,000 of them left. And 10,000 is left now. And he's got to be thinking, oh my goodness sakes, this doesn't make sense. Now listen, if you want to win a battle, it seems from a human, come on, we're back to Joshua, aren't we? We're back to God giving us something that just doesn't make any sense. Lord, you know, God's thinking is not our thinking. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so many times we're trying to logic a solution and come up with a plan, and God's looking at us going, wrong, wrong, wrong. How am I going to get glory for that? That's coming out of your brain, not out of my might. Okay, that's coming out of your logic. That's coming out of your resources. How am I going to get glory for that? And so you know what he does? He says, okay, Lord, well, we're down to 10. He said, yeah, that's too many. That's too many. And he said, well... And the Lord said, I want you to take them all down to the creek and I want you all to get them all a drink. He said, I want you to stand there and watch. He said, some of them's going to get down on their knees. Some of them get all the way down on their bellies and they're going to lap the water like a dog would. Some of them are going to get on their knees and they're going to lap the water like a dog would. He said, there's going to be a few. By the way, the ones that were separated were the ones that would not go down on their knees. Okay, I think some of them got down on their knees like this and lapped like a dog because it says it did. I think some of them got on their knees and went like this and drank water. If you'll read carefully, The ones that he said, I want you to look for are these guys. He said, that's it. Can you imagine this? Okay, you've got 10,000 people and you're going to pick the 300 best soldiers. So I think I'd say, okay, everybody get a sword and everybody come over here and let's watch you. He says, go down to the creek and just watch them drink water. And you think about that, 32,000. Come on, guys. 32,000 knocked down to 300. That's how many percents? Be that man. Be that man. If you're not, the devil's going to get you. Okay, they were just as thirsty as the other ones. But you know what? They were sober. They were vigilant. They didn't let their guard down. Okay, flesh, you're thirsty. So what? All these other guys are hitting the ground and lapping it up because that's what their flesh wants. But there's something more important than what my flesh wants. Somebody's got to watch. Somebody's got to guard. Somebody's got to be on alert. Be that 1%, gentlemen. And you know what? God will pick you to do some things He won't pick anybody else to do. Okay? And you know what Gideon did? He didn't fuss with the Lord. He didn't fight with the Lord. Say, preacher, do you think he understood? I don't think he understood. Do you think he even had the discernment to say, okay, I know which ones? No, God had to tell him, if they drink like this or this, send them home. If they drink like this, and I think later on Gideon may have been walking around going, what was that about? But you know what, folks? Faith is what? It's obedience. It's obedience. He doesn't have to understand. He just has to do what God says. And so he obeyed the Lord, destroyed his father's grove, and cast down his idol. May not have done it the way I wanted to do it, or didn't, but he did it. He did it. You know what? God said, take it from 32,000 to 10,000 to 300. He said, yes, sir. He may have walked in later on in his tent and went, what? We are going to get killed. What was that all about? But he did it. And then God tells him something interesting in chapter 7. And I think that I just want to share this little story with you because I think God, He knows who Gideon is. He made Gideon. He knows Gideon's not that naturally courageous person. He knows Gideon is kind of one of these that needs some assurances, that needs to see that sign, that needs that fleece to be wet then dry. So you know what he says in verse 7? He says, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go every man into his place. Let's see, let me get on down here. And then he said this, verse 9. He said, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get down, that's what I want, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered unto thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, maybe, thy servant, down to the host. Now, did you get that? He said, now, I want you to go down. You mean with the 300? No, you. And if you fear to go by yourself, take your servant. Can I say this? God knows who you are. You say, preacher, I'm just not this, not this, not this. You know, God knows that. He made you. And you know what? There may be some people that, I'm going to help all of you, okay? There may be some people just by nature that are more cautious. They just need to... It's not that they won't, but they just need to really know that God's in it. Really know. To the point where the rest of us sometimes like, okay, the rock burst in the flame sun. Okay, you got a bowl full of water, and you're gonna go, we're postponing this decision another night? Yeah, because I think if it's drying, then... But you know what? That's fine. Hey, you know what? Can I say something?
I can introduce you to some Christians that maybe should have taken a step or two of assurances to really make sure. Come on, anybody want to stand up and testify? You know, say, Jerry, are you a Gideon? Are you? No, I kind of am on the other personality type where I probably should have put fleeces out a few times. You know, because I come, you know, I've come into men's meetings and I've come into staff meetings and said, guys, I got an idea and you guys need to, I want you to hear it and I want you to help me decide whether this is a Jerry Ross idea or a God idea. I've said that because I have great ideas. God sometimes has nothing to do with them, but I've got great ideas. But that's not everybody. That's not everybody. And you know, sometimes you may be, you know what I think? I want to say this because I think sometimes we see a Christian, maybe it's just a little bit more like, and we're like, oh, they don't have any faith. Well, he ended up in chapter 11. I read it 10, 15 times. My name is not in there, all right? But he made it in there. Okay. And can I really believe this. I think part of a good church is having a balance of individuals where every single one of us want to do the will of God. And there may be one or two men that just say, preacher, can we just pray another week? And I'm more like, guys, let's do this. All right. But you know what? Hey, can I say this? A lot of times in a marriage, if you look at the dynamics of a marriage, there's usually, you know, the person that has maybe the more, let's just get it done, and the other person that's more of the, listen, I'm 100%, I want God's will as bad as you do, but we really need to be sure. Can I say this? I don't think one's got any less faith than the other. I think that there's a good balance sometimes to just say, okay, all right, I'm for it. But we make sure, can we just make sure, hey, is it ever going to be a bad thing to double check and make sure God sent it? And so that's what he did. He stepped out and he did it. So he told him to go down and spy on the host, verse 11. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thine hand be strengthened to go down into the host. And that tells me that he sent over 300 guys and he's still not convinced this is going to work. Okay, so God comes to him and says, all right. You say, why wouldn't God just go find a brave person? Because God likes to use everybody. Because God knew that we needed this story in the Bible. Because sometimes my faith isn't real strong. And sometimes I do look at the numbers. And I am a math guy. And I'm going, look at the number of people that love God nowadays and look at the number of people in this country that are Lord. And I want to despair. Come on. I mean, I just think that God put this story in to show us it can and very well might get so bad that the strongest person, the person of the strongest faith, is going to say, Lord, you sure you're still in this? You're sure you're still here? You sure you're still watching what we're going through? You sure we can win? I want to believe, but I'm going to go get some bread, some food. And I want to believe, but you know what? It's easy to be hard in Gideon, but we aren't living in dens. And we're not living in caves. And we haven't seen the atrocities that the Midianites has perpetrated against the Israelites to the point where they are living like animals. Okay? We don't have just a little bit of wheat that we salvaged that they didn't destroy, and we're back hiding, trying to make enough bread to keep our family alive for another week. Okay? So before you're too hard on Gideon, take a look at the circumstances. Hey, before you're too hard on each other, look at the circumstances. Somebody that's been maybe a little more timid and needs a little bit more assurances. Maybe if you knew their life story. Maybe if you knew all that they've gone through. Maybe even known the number of times they've gotten hurt. I mean, they want to step out as bad as anybody, but sometimes they just need God to give them a little extra. Aren't you glad that we watch God be so patient with Gideon? And he says, Gideon, you're not real convinced yet, are you? Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying to get there. I am trying to get there. I am the least of the tribes. I'm the least family in the tribe. I'm a nobody. Here you show up. You tell me all this stuff's going to happen, but I haven't seen one miracle in my cotton-picking life. All I've seen is devastation. All I've seen is us lose and lose and lose and lose and lose. And you're telling me now, 32,000 people show up. You take them all away except for 300 just because they drank water a certain way. I don't even know if these guys know which end of the sword is which. He says, take your servant and go down to the camp. So now you want me to sneak? Yes. Wait a minute. Faith is what? You know what he did? You think he felt like it? You think he wanted to? You know what he did? Okay. All right. All right. Comes it. Listen, he said, if you're fearful, go get your servant. Guess who went with him? Okay, you got that kid at home that always wants to ask really brave. You know, the child of yours that really wants to be brave. But really, when it comes bedtime, they want the littlest one to come in and sleep with them, you know? All right, Gideon's like, hey, what you doing? Let's go for a walk. Yes, sir, where are we going? I'll tell you on the way. They get down there. Again, I know. They get down there, and they slip into the camp, and God allows them to overhear a guy talking about a dream he had the night before. Basically, he's making a cake. The pan flips over. The cake falls out, and the guy says, I know, that's a sign. It's a sign. Gideon is going to destroy us. He's got our number. And Gideon's sitting there going, what? And he sees fear. He senses fear. And God said, I got this. And you know what the Bible says he did after he went there? He said, verse 14, and his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now watch verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise. Oh, come on. His faith's growing. Here it is. God put some gas in the tank. Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of the Midian. And he said, Lord, I just needed a little more assurance. I just needed to know for sure. God said, okay. I'll give you that. And then, you know what he does? Okay, he said, preacher, where's the faith? Well, he went down and spied on the Midianite army. Where's the faith? He's given an unlikely battle plan, same as Joshua. Look at verse number 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies. All right, this is going to be like a real deal here. He's got them into companies. So they all get into three groups of 100. And he says, all right, everybody come by. And we're going to give you the equipment you need. Here it is. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand. Okay, Max. With empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Now, why did he do that? Because God said that's what you need to do. Now, folks, listen to me. All of a sudden, I'm looking at Gideon, and I'm thinking, if I came out of his circumstance, and I had watched total devastation, and I had somebody walk in the door and call me a mighty man of valor when I'm so scared, I'm hiding behind the wine press just trying to not get caught. But God came along and said, hey, you know why I want to use you? Because you don't think you're a whole lot. Because you don't think you can do it. Because you know how bad you need me. And so let me just ask you one question, Gideon. Are you willing to obey? I'll try. Are you willing to obey? Well, Lord, I might need a little assurance. Okay, but crunch time. And if I come, aren't you guys, listen, and I come and meet you partway. Because I made you and I know you. Are you willing to obey? Now listen, folks, that's the message. You know what Jesus said? He said this. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove and nothing shall be impossible to you. Aren't you glad God didn't say the opposite? He didn't say you need a mountain-sized faith to move this mustard seed. He said you need mustard seed faith to move this mountain. Why is Gideon in Hebrews chapter 11? Was it because he believed the messenger truly was an angel of the Lord? No. But was it because of his heroic lineage and his personal pedigree? No. Was it because he did not need a sign from God? No. Was it because he was never afraid? No. Was it because he was a man of natural ability and natural courage? No. Was it because of he never doubted God's will and never needed assurances? No. Was it because he always understood God's way? No! Then tell me, why was he there? Because he may have done it at night, but he cut that grove down and broke that idol. He may have needed a sign from God, but he blew the trumpet and gathered the people. He may have needed a wet and dry fleece, but he sent home a vast army and only kept 300. He may have needed to overhear a dream, but after he did, he handed out 300 trumpets, 300 pitchers, and 300 lances and snuck up on one of the largest armies ever assembled in the history of the world. He may have been the least of the least of the least in Israel, but when it came time to break the pitcher and blow the trumpet and shout the shout, he did it. He did it. I watched a lot of men in my life. I watched a lot of different kinds of personalities. I've seen men stand there and thump their chest and tell you what they're going to do, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. You're hearing a lot of that right now in America. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then you show up to the day where it has to get done. Where are they at? Now, some of those personality types will show up, but a lot of them won't. Then you hear this guy that looks like he's over in the corner kind of wringing his hands, and he's nervous. He's looking around. He's saying, well, I know we're going to have to, but man alive, shouldn't we double? And you think, man, when it comes down to the battle, and you look around, and here he comes. And he's still kind of wringing his hands, and he's like, you sure? You sure? I love that. I'm not worried about the man whose faith is sometimes small, or the man who sometimes has to fight his doubts and fears. Just let me, first of all, let me watch him drink water. Let me see what he does when he is frightened. And let me see this. Let me just see his obedience. And you know what? That's the kind of man that ends up in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Gideon, Lord. Thank you for someone that many, many, many of us can relate to. There's different times in our lives when I think all of us have been Gideon. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless. Thank you, dear God, that you came and found a nobody. And because of your strength and your power, and Lord, because of your might, we have this wonderful story. 300 men with trumpets and lamps and pitcher started a destruction of one of the greatest and largest armies that's ever assembled. Lord, help us not to fear. Help us not to spend too much time counting. Help us not to give in to our own doubts. Help us just to keep our eyes on you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.